Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, long-suffering and full of compassion, be present with us in this hour as we confess our sorrows and our sins and seek thy comfort and forgiveness. In this season of thought and prayer, O God, help us to enter again into the fellowship of our Savior's sufferings. This day we acknowledge our sins and we implore thy pardon. We have done wrong to ourselves in ignorance and to our brothers and sisters in willfulness. Order what is disordered in our lives. Bring our minds to thy truth, our consciences to thy law, and our hearts to thy love, that we may hear thy voice and answer with humble trust and willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In this Lenten season, given as it is to self-examination and penitence, we enter again into mankind's oldest grief and its greatest shame. As we look toward that terrible cross day that contains all our days, we know that in some strange and mysterious way, Calvary is in the geography of the infinite and the calendar of the timeless. And in these shadowed days, let us not fall into some docetic disgrace and put resurrection in the picture too soon, lest we empty atonement and destroy incarnation. For in Gethsemane and on beyond, there is no hovering angel, no softening word, no private surety, no sub rosa agreement between Father and Son. He died cold, just as we do, with no immediately guaranteed future. Viewed in any way, that cross is a family catastrophe. It is a shocking revelation of what is in man. In the self-searching of these days, we discover anew that our inner and essential self is solicited in opposite directions. Alas, we are flesh and spirit. There is a torment of the divided self. Individually and collectively, we are enough ourselves to reenact Calvary. In these days, we confess haltingly, for we cannot bear a redemption we do not deserve. Deserve we cannot, but confess we must. For we are one in that family tragedy. We stand with those old, jealous guardians of an old orthodoxy whose theological animosity rendered them as calloused as professional hangmen. We are one with our little brother Judas, in whom we've gotten so much mileage. That contrast in the gospel that makes us all look good. But over against that Judas story, there is also a counterpoint theme. They all forsook him and fled. In these shadow days, we are one with the weeping daughters of Jerusalem, who weep at anything passing by that is so fair and unfair, so high and so lowly. Today we weep for lost dimensions. We weep that we wear his name but not his power, that we are still what Swinburne called Christ's leprous bride, the church. We are one with an unseeing public that leveled up and leveled down, putting away on the same hill two criminals who fell too far below their standards, but crucifying with equal ferocity that one who rose too far above their flat level of unaspiring respectability. And we go on, age upon age, putting aside predatory bandits and with equal fervor destroying prophet and saint and seer, for we do not know what to do with unconventional goodness. Yes, he was a proper candidate. Young, fair, clean, with his eyes on a distant horizon. What kind of people are we that we crucify that kind? We need an existential sadness that we go on doing that. If in these days we offer our sorrow and repentance as an oblation, perhaps light can break through. Only as we share the darkness of the shadowed hours of Calvary can we know that white, tremendous daybreak when all creation is renewed and the sons of God shout for joy. Truly, as an ancient liturgy reminds us, the Lord hath reigned from the tree. Amen and amen.
Thank you.
Pakistan. Now unto God's gracious mercy and protection we commit you, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.